This is the overture to Where the Wild Things Are, a ballet composed by Randall Wolf in collaboration with Maurice Sendak, based on his children's book. I'm Barrett Golding. This is Hearing Voices from NPR. Every once in a while, we turn over the reins to mixmaster Peter Beauchamp. This week, he has a tribute to a few people who recently passed. Beastie Boy rapper Adam Yauch, British hairdresser Vidal Sassoon, pioneer FM rock and roll disc jockey Pete Fornatelli, and mostly we hear from author-illustrator Maurice Sendak, along with all the music and movies inspired by his 1963 classic, Where the Wild Things Are. You are hearing voices, and this is Where the Wild Mixes Are.
And an ocean tumbled by with a private boat for Max. And he sailed off through night and day, and in and out of weeks and almost over a year, to where the wild things are.
I put on a pair of earphones, and what came over was Morse code. And I was thrilled. My God, this is coming through the air. There's nothing around here making that noise. This is coming through the air. Beep, 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 beep. And from that moment, I was hooked on radio.
When I was 8 or 9 years old, I knew that I wanted to play records on the radio.
I never set out to write books for children. I don't have a feeling that I'm going to save children all my life and devote them. I'm not Hans Christian Andersen. No one's going to make a statue in the park with a lot of scrambling kids climbing up me. I won't have it, okay? I picked a modest four, which was very modest back in the 50s and the 40s. I mean, children's books were the bottom end of the totem pole.
Do you like trains?
There was a little boy once who liked trains. As a matter of fact, he more than just liked them. He loved trains. His name was Sparky, and he lived right near the railroad depot on Station Street, and he was always talking about the trains that went by. He lived so close to them that he could stand in front of his house and wave to the engineer and then count the cars as they passed. Sparky liked the passenger trains because they went so fast, and he longed someday to ride on one. You see, he never had. Sparky liked freight trains, too, because they were so long and had so many different kinds of cars on them. Sparky even learned the names of the different cars and used to call them out as he watched a freight train go by. Like this.
Boxcar? Tank car? Gondola? Gondola? Boxcar? Refrigerator car? Tank car? Moose?
Look, kids, we're way up in the sky again.
Yeah, but I don't see any rainbow, Howdy.
Well, Johnny, you have to have rain before you can have a rainbow. And here it comes.
Oh, I don't like this rain. And look, it's lightning.
Oh, Sally, don't be afraid of a little rain. Not in the howdy-doody world. You just listen to this and maybe the rain will stop.
In January, it's so nice. While slipping on the sliding ice. Just sip hot chicken soup with rice. Sipping once, sipping twice. Sipping chicken soup with rice. In February it will be my snowman's anniversary. With cake for him and soup for me. Happy once, happy twice. Happy chicken soup with rice. In March the wind blows down the door and spills my soup upon the floor. It laps it up and roars for more. Blowing once, blowing twice. A blowing chicken soup with rice. In April I will go away to your old Bombay and dream about hot soup all day. Oh my once, oh my twice, oh my old chicken soup with rice. In May I truly think it best to be a robin lightly dressed, concocting soup inside my nest. Mix it once, mix it twice, mix that chicken soup with rice. In June I saw a charming group of roses all begin to droop. I pep them up with chicken soup. Sprinkle once, sprinkle twice, sprinkle chicken soup with rice. Chicken soup is selling cheap, selling once, selling twice, selling chicken soup with rice. In August it will be so hot, I will become a cooking pot. Cooking soup, of course, why not? Cooking once, cooking twice, cooking chicken soup with rice.
What do you think of the current state of children's literature?
Abysmal.
There's so much of it, though.
That's what makes it abysmal.
Let's talk about some of your competition.
Okay.
Give me your reviews. Green Eggs and Ham.
Good.
Good. Green Eggs and Ham, good.
Everything by Seuss is good.
Really?
Yeah.
Give a Mouse a Cookie.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that one, because you shouldn't give a mouse a cookie. The mouse should earn the cookie.
You should open the door and say, get the hell out of my house.
Mouse should be exterminated. I'm with you on that one. Curious George?
Great.
Curious George, okay. No, I don't believe in monkeys in the house either.
You don't like it?
No, no. They throw their feces. They bite your jaw off.
They
monkey will bite your face off.
He wouldn't have done that.
No, but he could have at any moment. Okay, so have I changed your mind on Curious George?
No.
So you're in favor of children getting their faces bitten off?
Okay.
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo? You know that one?
Isn't that an adult novel?
That's kind of prejudice of you to say that a book has to be adult or a book has to be child. Someone who's been so ghettoized in their work would say that a child couldn't read a book about murder and sadomasochism.
You trapped me. You trapped me.
Checkmate, sir.
You're wrong, but you trapped me.
Am I?
Yeah.
Am I?
Yeah.
Oh, so other people can be pigeonholed, but you can't do that to Maurice Sendak. That's a crime.
How about that?
Interesting.
Don't I deserve that?
Double standard much, Mo? Let's shift gears. Every celebrity is out there cashing in on children's books. And I want in. What's it take for a celebrity to make a successful book? What do
I
got to do?
You've started already by being an idiot. That is already the very first The man.
Okay. Idiot.
First is idiot.
How do you spell that?
After that, you know the formula.
You just need, like, an animal and something they've lost.
Well, yes. I mean, most books for children are very bad.
Yeah, squirrel lost their mittens.
There you go.
The buffalo lost its gun.
You've just written two children's books, and all you need to do is get a popular illustrator who has a horrible sense of design, no taste for type, nothing about the aesthetics of what a picture book could look like, and you will probably make a lot of money.
There once was an ugly duckling with feathers all stubby and brown. And the other birds, in so many words, said, get out of town. Get out. Get out. Get out of town. And he went with a quack and a waddle and a quack in a flurry of eiderdown. That poor little ugly duckling went wandering far and near. But at every place they said to his face, now, get out of here. Get out, get out, get out of here. And he went with a quack and a waddle and a quack and a very unhappy tear. All through the winter time he hid himself away, ashamed to show his face, afraid of what others might say. All through the winter in his lonely clump of weed, till a flock of swans spied him there and very soon agreed, you're a very fine swan indeed. A swan? Me a swan? Ah, go on. And he said, yes, you're a swan. Take a look at yourself in the lake and you'll see. And he looked and he saw and he said, I am a swan. Whee! Not such an ugly duckling, no feathers, all stubby and brown. For in fact, these birds, in so many words, said, the best in town. The best, the best, the best in town. Not a quack, not a waddle or a quack, but a glide and a whistle and a snowy white back. And a head so noble and a heart. Say, who's an ugly duckling? Not I. Not I.
You are hearing Voices with a tribute to Maurice Sendak and the music his books inspired, mixed by Peter Beauchamp. Here's Janice Ian.
Today our dear friend Chicken Soup, this very ordinary day, boiled up a pot of chicken soup and swallowed it away. Choking today.
First picture book, but I was talking about kids I knew and me. A book, an American book, where the child actually daunts his mother and threatens her. No way, no way. And then on top of that, she puts him in a room and denies him food. No way. Mamas never do that kind of thing. Kids never get pissed at their parents. Unheard of. And the worst offense? He comes home, she leaves food for him, not punished. Not punished.
In another land, where the breeze and the trees and the flowers were blue, I stood and held your hand, and the grass grew high, and the feathers floated by. I stood and held your hand, and nobody else's hand will ever do. Nobody else will do. Then I'll and the sea and the sky and the castles were blue. I stood and held your hand, and the spray flew high, and the feathers floated by. I stood and held your hand, and nobody else's hand will ever do. Nobody else will do.
Truly great king.
Oh, look, he looks good on him. Look. He looks great. A king.
King.
He looks perfect.
Have a king.
Fresh king.
Thank you.
Max declares a wild rumpus from the ballet Where the Wild Things Are by composer Randall Wolf.
That's it. You're going to bed without eating anything.
More of our tribute to Maurice Sendak coming up. It was assembled, mixed, and mashed by the audio wizard Peter Beauchamp of WPKN Bridgeport, Connecticut, WBAI New York City, and MixedUp.com. In a minute, we're back where the wild things are, on Hearing Voices.
Hearing Voices is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people, and the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes a great nation deserves great art. From NPR, this is HearingVoices.com.
This is Hearing Voices with part two of our tribute to some recently departed cultural innovators, author, illustrator Maurice Sendak, hairdresser Vidal Sassoon, DJ Pete Fornatelli, and Beastie Boy bassist and rapper Adam Yauch, a.k.a. MCA. Our Wild Things mixdown continues right after we hear this Beastie Boy song for Junior. Thank you.
I was 32 when I did that book, where animals were violent, where criminal, where not so far away from the gorillas and the apes, those beautiful creatures. So of course, and then we're supposed to be civilized. We're supposed to go to work every day. We're supposed to be nice to our friends and send Christmas cards to our parents. So all these things which trouble us deeply because it's so against what we naturally would want to do. And if I've done anything, I've had kids express themselves as they are, impolitely, lovingly. They don't mean any harm. They just don't know what the right way is. And as it turns out, sometimes the so-called right way is utterly the wrong way. What a monstrous confusion.
You know, I'm sitting here reflecting, really, at 81. Who would have dreamt that 67 years ago, at the age of 14, there I was in the East End of London, shampoo boy, and I'm sitting here over 60 years later, and I'm wondering, how did it all happen? God, it's so much adventure happened.
Picking up scales and broken chords, puppy dog tails in the House of Lords. Tell me, darling, what can it mean? Making up moons in a minor key, what are those tunes got to do with me? Tell me, darling, where have you been? Once upon a long ago, children searched for treasure. Nature's plan went hand in hand with pleasure. Such pleasure.
So you were born 1928 in Shepherd's Bush?
When I was maybe two and a half, three, my mother was evicted. You have to remember, it was 1928 I was born, so in 30, 31, the Depression was on. My father had left us. I had a young brother. And unlike today, where we're multicultural, being Jewish, we stood out in those days. We needed somewhere to live, so she appealed to the Jewish authorities to take us into this orphanage here. And I spent from 5 to 11 in the orphanage and sang in the synagogue choir.
Music, this marvelous universal language, understood by everyone, everywhere, ought to be a source of better communication among men. This is why I make a special appeal to my fellow musicians everywhere, asking each one to put the purity of his art at the service of mankind for the peace that we all desire and wait for.
Years ago, this is where I used to sit. I was a choir boy. The choir master, he'd wrap my knuckles on occasion. Because, you know, we were kids and we were naughty at times. But they were charming services. They were very warm, very gentle. Right now, at this moment, I don't know if I did then, far too young, but right now I'm feeling rather spiritual.
The late comedian George Burns once said, "Find something you love to do and you'll never work a day in your life." My own journey to Woodstock actually began many, many, many years before 1969. In fact, right there. When I was 8 or 9 years old, I knew that I wanted to play records on the radio. Then when I was a teenager, Elvis had happened, so now I knew that not only did I want to play records on the radio, but I wanted to play rock and roll records on the radio, and I got the chance to do that when I enrolled at Fordham University in the 60s and began my first go-around with one of the first non-commercial educational radio stations in the country, WFUV-FM. Then in 1969, through some combination of luck, talent, determination, and being in the right place at the right time, I was hired by the most influential FM rock radio station in the country. And I got the chance to do exactly what I wanted to do and continue to do 40 years later.
Cause you can, you won't, and you don't stop. Cause you can, you won't, and you don't stop. Or when you can, you won't, and you don't stop.
Step my hand, help.
Oh, yes, indeed, it's fun time, fun time.
Because you can, you won't, and you don't stop. Because you can, you won't, and you don't stop. Oh, when you can, you won't, and you don't stop.
If you ain't coming back, the show shine.
I wanna say a little something that's long overdue. The disrespect of women has got to be due. To all the mothers and the sisters and the wives and friends, I wanna offer my love and respect to the end.
Well, you say I'm 20-something, that I shouldn't be slugging, but I'm working harder than ever. And if you call it back and someone's home to sit up on the couch, I'm watching my TV. Still listen to wax, I'm not using the seat.
Beastie Boy Adam Yauch died recently, as did DJ Pete Fornatelli, hairdresser Vidal Sassoon, and author-illustrator Maurice Sendak. Hearing Voices continues with this tribute to them all by mixmaster Peter Beauchamp.
It's impossible to overestimate the importance of Vidal Sassoon.
He's probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, hairdresser who's ever lived.
With raw talent and drive and ambition and just sheer guts, and I will not give up, he built something that rocked the world.
It was one man with an amazing, innovative idea that has stood the test of time.
My next guest became famous for creating the shape, the five-point, the bob, and the many, many more.
They were the styles which set him off on the path to creating a multi-million dollar international corporation.
Well, he's an international celebrity, really, who revolutionized the way women of the world look on the outside and how they view themselves on the inside.
Vidal was completely established as the leading person in hair in the world.
Probably the biggest legacy in modern hairdressing is the name Vidal Sassoon.
He's like, I suppose in hair, he's like the Dior of hairdressing.
I think if you went to Japan and asked them, what hairdressers do you know, they would say Vidal Sassoon. They would know the name.
It's like being a boxer in the time of Muhammad Ali, or being a physicist and working next to Einstein. Because he was that good.
We think Sassoon, we also think liberation.
He just seemed to exude this magic around him.
If I was the Queen of England, I would knight him.
So much of Sassoon is a myth.
I've worked with some great people in my time, but for me, he is the person, you know, he's the Messiah.
If you don't look good, we don't look good.
And an ocean tumbled by with a private boat for Max. And he sailed off through night and day, and in and out of weeks, and almost over a year, to where the wild things are.
Wild thing! You made my heart sing! You made forever blue! I love you. We'll be right back.
mixed memorial to Adam Yauch of the Beastie Boys, Maurice Sendak, Vidal Sassoon, and DJ Pete Fornatelli. It was produced by Peter Beauchamp of All Mixed Up, online at mixedup.com. He's also found at WPKN Bridgeport, Connecticut, and WBAI New York City. This is Hearing Voices. The final act in the ballet, Where the Wild Things Are, is titled, And His Dinner Was Still Hot. Music from the ballet Where the Wild Things Are, composed by Randall Wolf. I'm Barrett Golden, coming to you from Peak Recording in Bozeman, Montana. There's links to everything you heard at hearingvoices.com.
Hearing Voices is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people, and the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes a great nation deserves great art. Our producers are Scott Carrier, Ann Hepperman, Larry Massett, and Kara Oler. Our intern is Max Darum. Mix engineer is Robin Wise of soundimagery.com. Executive producer is Barrett Golding. From NPR, National Public Radio, this is hearingvoices.com.